We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It's a terrific Tuesday right here in Brevard County. I don't care what the weather is like. Jesus is on the throne, and for me, that makes it a terrific Tuesday. So thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast right here on WMIE FM 91.5 and WWBC 1510 AM. And we know that this is fundraiser week here at the radio station. We want to thank you for supporting Christian Radio, which not only is broadcasting here in the county, but because of the TuneIn app and because of the internet that's available through the church or through the radio station's website, these broadcasts literally go all around the globe. You can listen on demand. You can listen to them live. And if you've got a smartphone, you can get it anywhere in the world. So thank you. Thank you for supporting Christian Radio. Right now, we just want to say thank you to Advanced Christian Training Schools. Let me ask you a question. Are you growing in your faith? Are you actively pursuing growing in your faith? Are you growing in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man? Because that's the biblical mandate. Are you growing in grace? I mean, there are a lot of areas where the Bible commands us to grow. You see, naturally, if I take in food, my body grows without me even having to think about it. I can grow biologically, but I have. I'm trying to grow smaller, but I have grown significantly from that runt that I was in high school. But you do not grow intellectually by accident. And the same is said for spiritually. You do not grow spiritually by accident. You know, somebody one time tried to say, you know, if you walk along the edge of the shore, sooner or later, you're going to fall in and get wet. Well, that's not really the way that you grow. You grow by having an intentional, God-given plan to grow. It needs to be based upon the Word of God. It is based upon fellowshipping with other saints. It is about availing yourself to all of the resources that God has provided you with. And with that being said, Advanced Christian Training Schools, it's an absolutely free video Bible school, 3 hours on Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And if you would like to say, or if you're tired of stagnation in your spiritual life, I encourage you to check them out. Call Ted or Linda, 633-0432, 633-0432, and check out what they have to offer. Free is one of my favorite prices. It really is, and so I encourage you to avail yourself of that. We also, you know, we do know it's radio's fundraising week here on the radio station to pay the bills for the next 6 months. But if you are a listener to the Refresh radio broadcast and you would like a reminder to pray for us, I am not like one preacher I heard one time. I actually heard him say, don't pray for me. I don't need your prayers. I will tell you this. Please pray for me. If the Apostle Paul says, pray for us that a door of opportunity would open, pray for us that we would boldly present the Word of God, then I want you to know I definitely need you to pray for me. Pray that I would continue to grow and mature in the Word and in my communication skills. Pray that I would grow as a leader of the church, the pastor at Merit Assembly of God. Pray that I would have more anointing in my latter years, more productivity in my latter years than I've had in my early years. I'm not looking to go out, you know, fizzled out, burned out, toast. I'm looking to go out in a blaze of glory saying, you know what? I gave it my all. I gave it my all. And so for anybody who contacts us at 165 North Grove Street, you can call us 454-4263. You can send us an email. But especially if you would like to partner with us and help us in our radio expenses, we will send you out a little coffee mug that you can use. It's got Merit Assembly of God on one side. It's got Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs on the other side. And you can pray for the broadcast as you're driving down the road or having coffee of a morning or whatever you might be. We have one entire cupboard filled with coffee mugs. And to be honest with you, it's the closest to the refrigerator. And so you don't have to put coffee in a coffee mug. You know, I've put a lot of milk in a coffee mug. It's okay. If you don't drink coffee, but you'd still like to pray for us, we'd love to put that reminder into your hands. So we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer for, you know, the past several weeks. And I want to touch on the opposite of that today. And that is, what is it like not to forgive? What is it like not to forgive? Remember, Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And it goes on later and say, if we do not forgive, then you will not forgive us. Whatever measure we use, that's the measure that is going to be used back to us. And today I'm going to read some verses. And I'm going to read them out of the New King James Version, but I spent a lot of years preaching out of the NIV version because I always wanted to reach people who did not know Jesus. It was a nice, easy language for them to understand. But what happened was the NIV has changed so much over the years that sometimes I can be looking at it in my Bible, and my daughter would be looking up to make a PowerPoint slide via an internet Bible program, and the new NIV was completely different than the NIV I was looking at with my very own eyes. And so a lot of verses that the Spirit really spoke to me about, it comes from all of those years feeding in the NIV. And so you're going to hear me help translate some of these verses today from the New King James Version. I'm going to share with you from the NIV as well. But in Mark chapter 6, Mark the 6th chapter, verse number 16, it says, but when Herod heard, he said, this is John whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead, for Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her, because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came, when Herod on his birthday gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee, and when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. He also swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you up to half my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oath and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought, and he went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. Herod was married to someone he wasn't supposed to be married to. It was a violation of the Word of God. And even in modern times, people are still struggling with this concept of who does God think he is telling me what the rules of my relationships are supposed to be. And, you know, my thing is God's God. He's the one that defined it. He's the one, he created us for his glory. We've got to make a choice. I believe in God, in the sovereignty of God, and I believe in God's sovereignty. He created men and women with a free moral will to choose to serve him or not to. He is not looking for automatons. He's not looking for spiritual robots. He is looking for people who recognize his goodness and appreciate everything he has done for them. And as a result of that, they want to live life the way that God instructs them to live life in the Word. And so John was crying out. I want you to know it's no different. John was crying out, and he was saying, it's not lawful for you. I don't care if you're the king. God's standard is higher than the king's standard. And I declare to you that in 2015, that God's law supersedes the law of the United States. It supersedes the power of the president. It supersedes the Supreme Court. I don't care what they decide as far as whether or not something is legal. Legal does not mean that it is righteous. Legal does not mean that it is permissible, nor is it pleasing in the sight of God. And so as our society continues to struggle with this concept, same concept, 2,000 years after the fact, then we need to look and see how John handled it so that we know how to handle it. And that is, we do not redefine the Word of God for changing societal standards. Instead, we proclaim the Word of God even when the Word of God contradicts what is acceptable and pleasing and empowering in other people's lives. You know, I really am not looking to make people mad at me. I like to get along with everybody. But my highest responsibility as a man of God, as a preacher called by God to proclaim the Word of God, is to proclaim the Word of God in its fullness in the spirit of truth. Now let me say this. There are a lot of people who are lashing out at people, and they are not doing it in the spirit of truth. You can use the Word of God as a weapon, but you're going to end up killing people, and they're not going to like it. You know, you're not going to get the results that you are looking for. The Spirit of God is not looking to beat people up with the Word of God. He is looking to use the Word of God when operated in truth, the same way that a surgeon operates with a scalpel, and that is with precision to go in and repair the damaged areas of a person's spirit and allow Jesus to come to fullness of life there. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the Word of God. And so we need to proclaim it. We just need to proclaim it in love. And I want you to see that John the Baptist and Herod actually had a relationship. Now, Herod was the one in control of the relationships, but he said that he sent for John often that he might hear him. And so even though he was telling him that there were areas of his life that were out of order, Herod did not despise him. Herod actually liked to hear him. It said, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Let me ask you, to make sure that as you and I are proclaiming the Word of God, that we are building relationship with people so that they realize that even though there is a point of disagreement, it is not because we are attacking them, we are actually communicating the truth in love with them so that they can be set free. The reality of the scripture is that the blood of Jesus can transform anybody. He can transform kings, and he did, and he has. He can touch whole nations, and he has. There's not any sin that is so strong that he cannot set people free, and he has. And so build relationships with people so that they actually look forward to us communicating the truth in love. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you get offended when you go to the doctor because you are sick in your body and the doctor tells you the truth? I don't. You know, when the doctor told me that I had a detached retina, and then the next day the surgeon told me, okay, here's the course of action, and you've got two choices. You can either comply or you can go blind. Well, I want you to know that, you know, there were people who were very offended. I talked with them. They were very offended at the upfrontness of the doctor. Not so me. I recognized that person had nothing to lose. That doctor, that surgeon had nothing to lose. They had a job to do. And so they were communicating and they were saying, if you will do what I say and you will allow me to make the repairs in your body that need to be made, we can restore you to what you were originally created to be. And I said, yes, ma'am. Not in a literal sense. But I said yes in complying with my instructions. I said yes when the pain of the correction was coming, was being made. I said yes to the discomfort. I said yes to it all. And I thank God that every day my vision is improving. And the doctor has said that everything is coming along great. And so I wasn't. You know, when that doctor spoke to me, I wanted to hear the truth, not what I wanted to hear. We in America right now, we have such an entitlement mindset that we say, well, you just ought to do this for me because it makes me feel good. And I want you to know that's not spiritual reality. There are going to be people who are not going to end up in heaven that Jesus died on the cross to save because they were comforted and empowered in their sin, instead of somebody loving them enough to build a relationship with them and tell them, hey, this is the way of escape from whatever sinful stronghold you have in your life, whether it's an addiction, whether it's relational, whether whatever it might be, any sort of emotional brokenness, any sort of spiritual brokenness, Jesus can heal. We just have to be willing to come along and say, God, you know better than I do. And that involves humility. And therein is a problem because we can be very proud people who want to be in control. Anyway, I'm well off track here. Let me get back to the real crux of the matter here that I wanted to talk about. And that is, it says in verse number 19 that Herodias, Herod's wife, held it against him, John, and wanted to kill him, but she could not. Now, let me tell you what it says in the NIV. It says in the NIV that what Herodias did was she nursed a grudge. She nursed a grudge. In the New King James Version, it says she held on to it, and she was clinging to it. She refused to let that go. Who do you think you are as a preacher? And you don't even have a decent wardrobe. And you know, here I am, the queen of the land. Who do you think you are telling me how I can and how I can't live my life? And because of the disdain that she had for John the Baptist, she held on to that grudge and she clung to it very tightly. But the NIV puts it this way, she nursed that grudge. And I did a word search in the NIV, and in every application where they have translated the word nurse, it is used as an infant nursing from its mother. That infant is completely and totally dependent on that mother making nursing available in order for that baby to live. Every other reference where the word nursed is used, that's what it means. And I want to tell you today that there are people who, instead of forgiving other people, that they are nursing the grudge. They have held on to it. They have brought it close to them. They have made themselves available for that grudge to take its life, to be able to continue to live because of how dearly they hold the grudge. You know, Jesus has not commanded us to hold a grudge. If anybody has a right to hold a grudge against anyone, Jesus has a right to hold a grudge against us. If anybody should nurse a grudge against humanity, it should be Jesus. I mean, after all, he came as a light and we chose darkness instead of light. He came to teach us and we chose to do it our own way. We rejected him when he offered himself. We crucified him. We beat him. We mocked him. We scorned him. We scourged him. They put him in a grave. And even when he was resurrected, people still did not believe it. If anybody had a right to hold a grudge or to nurse a grudge, it is Jesus, because he was the stone that the builders rejected, and yet God has exalted him. I want you to know that other people's treatment, you do not have to nurse that grudge. Just go ahead and grant them forgiveness. Jesus shed his blood 2,000 years ago before we committed our first sins. The only thing that is preventing reconciliation with Jesus is you and I, the people who are listening to this broadcast, repenting of our sin. The forgiveness has already been made available. He's not nursing your grudge. He knows all about your sin. He's looking, he is moving and ministering by his Holy Spirit, convicting people of their sin so that he can forgive. Do you realize that God has mobilized heaven and earth in order for that grudge to be repented of so he could forgive you and I so that there could be reconciliation? That's just wonderful, wonderful. Now, As I was preparing for this broadcast, there was a realization, because I'm a guy. I don't understand how that nursing thing works. I do know that that God treated Naomi so wonderfully with blessing her with Ruth, and Ruth and Boaz had a son. And in the King James Version, it says that Naomi nursed that child, even though biologically that should not have been possible. Supernaturally, God made it possible. But so I recognize the nursing concept, and you know, I'm thankful that God created that biological capability in people. But here is what was quickened to me as I came here to do this broadcast today, is that grudge, when Herodias held it close to her, it literally sucked the life right out of her body. It was able to live because it was sucking life out of her. Here's the reality. As long as you and I nurse a grudge, hold a grudge, as long as we refuse to forgive, I'm telling you that it is not going to have nearly the adverse effects upon the perpetrator, the one who wounded you in the first place, as it will on you. It will suck the very life out of you. It will suck your joy. It will suck your peace. It will suck your hope out of your life. Pretty soon you will just be a shell of the person that you once were. You know, what it will do is it will make you a perpetual victim instead of just a victim once and for all. I don't enjoy being victimized, but if I'm going to be victimized, I'll be victimized once. I don't want to be victimized every day for the rest of my life. Several years ago, I was preaching about this passage, and I had a different application of nursing at that point in time. I've got several friends that are nurses. I've got a sister-in-law who's a nurse. My wife is has been a CNA. She knows lots of nurses, and God gave me a picture of a grudge that was in intensive care, and it was getting round-the-clock medical treatment in order for the grudge to live. And today, folks, I want to challenge you to let it go. I want to challenge you today that there is something better to nurse. I would rather allow God to bring supernatural healing into my life than I would to cling to an ancient or to a grievance just because somebody made me unhappy. You know, God is a great big God. He is capable. Today, why don't you let some things go and cast those cares upon God and let Him handle them? In fact, let me just say this. We're coming to the end of the broadcast here. The Bible never tells you to get revenge. In fact, it says you do not even own it. The scripture says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." And you know what? I'm not praying that God would crush my enemies and all of that sort of stuff. Instead, I'm asking for God to forgive them and set them free and become the Lord of their life and restore them to the purpose that God has for them. Let's quit nursing some things and let's forgive today, shall we? Father, right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take this word today. And Lord, that if there's any grudge, if there's a hurt that people are holding on to, God, I pray that it would be let go. It would be released into your capable and loving hands, that you would bring forgiveness. And God, we pray that you would bless those who've hurt us now. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.